Okay, you're back to Senior Talk Radio here at 88.1 FM, WCWP. I'm John Ryan, and my co-host today is Otto Loos. And we're talking with Kate Beckman and Clyde Locke, both performers with the Port Washington Play Troupe, and they do a live performance of the old-fashioned radio program. And just at the break, before we go to Otto's musical part of this, Clyde was just saying, Kate, that even though, you know, Broadway, you have the thing memorized, here you can read it, but still basically you have to know the whole story. It has to be 100% prepared. I mean, you're not reading it along because when you turn the page, you say, ooh, I was supposed to be sad.
God bless the rehearsals.
Right, right.
It's perfect. Yeah. What you brought is a perfect, because there are a couple of sections in my script as Margot Channing where there's obviously a build. There's an argument ensuing.
Okay.
Or at the end, she's in tears. And you need to sort of mark that and track that.
Right. Okay.
Or someone will say, well, you're so jealous. I have to be jealous here.
Right, right. Okay, okay.
Yeah. So you're right on.
You know, it's amazing.
This script in particular, All About Eve, requires that change of personality and awareness of the evil intentions of Eve Harrington develop from the middle and toward the
Joan
end.
Joan Crawford or Betty Davis?
Betty Davis did the...
No, Betty Davis is Margot Channing.
Margot.
Oh, that's...
She's
okay,
Margot.
Okay, yeah. Okay. That's okay. Was,
fasten your seatbelts, kids. We're in for a bumpy night.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm thinking about who played the actress in that played the Eve role. I'll come up with it later. Anyway, but the question about the emotion development, my part in this, Addison DeWitt, who's the rather nasty theater critic and sort of the villain of the piece, requires the same change of attitude as time goes on toward the end, because now he becomes the finger pointer on Eve's machinations to achieve stardom at everybody else's expense.
Okay.
And he's winds up both entranced by her and putting her down at the same time.
Okay,
so it's a very imaginative script, and the development, as Kate pointed out, is an absolute requirement to convey that emotion, again, with voice only. So,
it's hard.
It's
There's
fun.
No question.
That's the fun part. And I think the audience can get into this, you know, based on watching that development and that
it's
sort
a different
of evolution.
Skill. You're talking about a different skill altogether because
just before you say that,
smile.
I think it was Ann Baxter that paid Eve.
Exactly. Right.
I had to think about that for a minute. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Christina.
Yeah, Christina looked it up on her phone.
I had
which
it written down, but too many papers.
See, that's the... You were talking about the music earlier, Otto.
Well, I went on the website, and you had a lot of your old radio shows on the website, and I actually didn't get to listen to a lot of it, but I did listen to some of the Thin Man, and I enjoyed the music right at the beginning of that show. So you apparently incorporate music into these radio shows as well. How do you do that? I mean, do you have somebody else is sitting there and you don't have an orchestra?
Well, as a director, and when I looked at The African Queen, I know that they like and that our audience enjoys the music between acts. And I'm trying to think, okay, how can I make this work for The African Queen?
Mm-hmm.
And what we decided to do, what I decided to do between the first and second act, we're actually going to do music from some of the movie musicals that would have been airing at the same time as The African Queen. And that's about 1952. So we are looking at movie musicals that were in the theaters in 1952. And then between Act 2 and Act 3, not to leave Broadway out, we're going to look at some of the shows that were in New York, again, 1952. So we're looking at music from perhaps Kiss Me, Kate.
I'm just going to say
Jovi.
Kiss Me, Kate.
Yeah, they had revivals, which we went, a musical director and I went back and we did research, and they had a revival of Kiss Me, Kate in 1952.
Wow.
So we're going to do some Pal Joey and some Kiss Me, Kate.
The reason I said that is I have my daughter's car this week, and she has Sirius.
Mm-hmm.
No, not Sirius. Sirius, whatever it is. And I've been listening to the show tunes because I don't get, and it's a, and they come up, Carousel, Oklahoma, some of these, and they're putting up 52, you know, 57. How far back these are? I had no idea they were that far back.
Oh, definitely.
That's why when you said Kiss Me, Kate was on this morning, one of the songs.
And the very, very first radio drama broadcast that we did was The Maltese Falcon. And we were talking about it earlier. I got the chance to sing God Bless America, sort of a la Kate Smith, because they had a tribute to, you know, the armed forces and our guys overseas and stuff like that. And that was also part of the Lux radio commercials and the promotions that they were doing at that time.
Okay, okay.
This is me talking with no knowledge, all right? But when I go, like, to the Broad Hollow Theater, they have everything there. They have the music. They have a whole do they get, like, a kit almost for some of those shows where you get a package and it gives you the costumes and the music and the stage setting and so on?
If you're going to do one of our musicals, you apply to a licensing agent.
Right.
There are different companies. And you sign a contract. And what comes in the contract are the scripts, orchestrations, and it depends what you get.
Right.
And music for the actors. So, for instance, Pam is doing this for Port Washington Play Troupe now. They're going to present Guys and Dolls this summer at the Landmark Theater July.
Okay.
So, Pam, they're taking care of the contracts and getting that all set up. So, yes.
Now, but for radio, you do that or you don't do that?
These radio scripts, especially for the Lux radio programs, are royalty free.
Oh. Wow, that's nice.
Which is really nice.
Right.
So we do not need to pay anything for them, and you can find them online.
So you actually get like the scripts?
You can download it off the internet.
Right, right.
These scripts have been modified along the way many times. So very often the contraction necessary to fit into the format and the agenda do require some editing, but by and large, the storyline is right on the money in terms
of
what the audience expects and gets from the performances.
Do they include the old ads in there?
The Lux ads are.
Yeah, because I got a kick out of the other one there was with this. They talked about Lux toilet soap.
Right.
As a sponsor of.
Well, that's the sponsor of the script, so we have to give credit to Lux. And talking about women and how they wash their stockings and the soap that they use on their face.
And you're doing this. Foley's doing this.
Well, the conversation is in the script.
Oh, it is.
So
okay.
The actors do that part.
Oh, the actors do that. Yeah. Okay.
It's sort of a kick because the only nostalgic part, if you will, is this reminiscence.
Right.
World War II, pre, during, and post.
War bonds.
War bonds, exactly. Mm-hmm. So there's all these references to things that the seniors will certainly remember,
mm-hmm.
and introductory for a large part of the audience, but should be part of history. So it's very interesting stuff.
I think the history of what we're doing right now, Dan Cox, his dad sort of turned him on to this, and then Dan approached Pam to create this, the radio drama broadcast, and to bring back the golden age of radio. And what's really, if you're going to be a student of the arts of radio, of television, of theater, I think it's important to have this. And so we can bring this so you can, and actually we've had some of the students from here at Post in the company. We just did Meet Me in St. Louis, and we had some very talented students from Post in the cast.
Wow.
And nice. Then their friends came to the audience. So it's really, we're introducing a younger audience to...
It's almost like networking.
Exactly.
Just to get it out there.
Yeah. I'm glad that Kate mentioned that, because I think for young people looking for careers, any time you get introduced to something that might be a little far afield of what your immediate concerns are, it's always interesting to see how much adaptation the youngsters are capable of and how well they do. So that I think part of our mission, as I see it, is to introduce these great old dramas, but also to make an educational process out of it.
Another quick question. I know on the theater, on the stage, rather, you have to ad-lib on occasion. You don't have to, but all of a sudden something goes wrong. You forgot your line. I'm saying, oh, Kate, it's a lovely apple.
Yeah.
Even though you're reading it here, Does ad-libbing come in because all of a sudden I'm getting frustrated and I'm missing that line and I just got to go with the flow?
You should see her ad-lib.
Oh, okay, it is. Okay.
She can carry on a line when, well, you know, the next person is doing a hummada, 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 and then this beat just
Well, you'll see in your script, you'll have a line and it stops with dot, 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 which means the other person's supposed to cut you off. And we do this in everyday conversation. Mm-hmm. But what happens sometimes is the actor is sitting there waiting, and it doesn't sound as natural as it does in everyday life.
Okay.
So what I do is, and what I tell my actors to do is, I keep finishing the line. So if you're not going to cut me off, I'm going to keep talking.
I get you. Okay, fine. I just, you know.
And then it's more realistic.
That's right,
probably
that's
the fun part of it.
Yeah, because then they're sitting there going,
no,
huh?
That's not a fun part, Adam.
No, on the receiving end.
No, which is the importance of the rehearsal part of it.
Yeah.
You know, you want it to be as natural as possible, but obviously there's a flow that 90% of the flow has to be followed, you know, and the other 10%, if it works in properly, it's only a bonus. It doesn't detract from it, excuse me.
Well, I mean, radio in my era was the state of the art.
That's true, too. You know,
yeah. It was the only entertainment.
Yeah.
And it was
movies, which, you know, at least they had sound.
Home entertainment.
But prior to that, they didn't even have sound. Mm-hmm. If you think back.
No, the concept behind it is tremendous. And Dan, no, the idea is terrific. It really is. And for people to be able to see this, it's a must.
That's the interesting part, is that the audience participation is really
Because you can close your eyes and be there, and I can open them and say, oh, look what Kate's doing now. You know, you could be doing anything.
I'll give a tease to your audience to encourage them to come. To come to Sunday's performance, the tickets are $10, we're a 3:00 curtain, and to see how they do a phone call.
Okay.
So that's all I'm going to say, how they make it sound like an old-fashioned phone call.
Perfect. We do have to hop. We've been listening to Kate Beckman and Clyde Locke, who are from the Port Washington Play Troupe, talk about the upcoming All About Eve and the African Queen, which is going to be a month from now, actually on June 14th. You're listening to Project Independence and You on 88.1. Thank you guys so much, and we're looking forward to the play.
Thank you.